39. We will conclude our study in the book of Exodus. We will probably come back to Exodus at some time in the future because there is so much symbolism in Exodus, and we'll look at a little bit of that tonight in way of just the lesson tonight. But tonight, I want to look at building the tabernacle. Not just building the tabernacle, but raising the tabernacle. The verses that we'll all read tonight are on Exodus chapter 39, verses 32, and all of chapter 40. Q, on the far left slider bar, on the soundboard, far left sound, just slide it down about one notch. Very good. There you go. Thank you. We are going to briefly cover all the chapters 36 through up to 39, and in a summary, show you what those chapters had to deal with. Moses went up to the mount. In addition to getting the law, he got the pattern for the tabernacle. And in chapters 36 through 38, those deal with the building of the parts of the tabernacle. In verses 8 through 37 of chapter 36, we see the tabernacle tent. That was what held the holy and the holy of holies. And then in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 37, there's a description about the ark of the testimony. And after that ark was built, inside of it was put the law, the Ten Commandments, the a pot of manna, and Aaron's bud that budded. And then later on, all that was in there was the Ten Commandments. And over the Ark of the Testimony is the mercy seat. We'll get back to that in a minute, okay? The table for the showbread was discussed in verses 10 through 16 of chapter 37. The golden lampstand, verses 17 through 24 of chapter 37. The altar of incense, 25 through 28. The anointing oil and the incense in verse 29. And then chapter 38 goes into the altar of burnt offering. The bronze laver, verse 8. The court of the tabernacle, that is the outside area that was enclosed. And then the inventory of the metals needed. Now, they list the shittim wood, which is actually acacia wood. But here's what. And it's that they charge a temple tax, basically to redeem the people of the firstborn of Israel that were in excess of the people of the sons of Levi. So, in gold, there were 29 talents, 732 shekels worth of gold. That's 1.25 ton of gold. Now, that's like winning the lottery when you talk about how much this is. It's almost $50 million. Everything in the Holy of Holies, anything in the tabernacle tent was made of gold. In fact, the entire Holy of Holies was encased in gold inside of it. The ark was gold. The staves were gold. All the things that carried the table and the altar of incense, all that was gold. Then, silver, there was 100 talents, 1,775 shekels, which is 4.25 tons of silver. A ton of silver by today's rate is about $500,000. So we can see that this is almost $2.25 million. And then you had brass, which was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels, which is about 4 ton. And brass is pretty expensive too. You know, the going rate is about $100 a ton. So that's pretty significant. So there's millions of dollars in this. You know, when we're doing something for God, we should not spare any expense. God deserves it all. He owns it all. So these are the outline of making the parts for the tabernacle in the wilderness. Then There's the making of the garments. In chapter 39, verses 2 through 7, we see the ephod. And the ephod, basically, or the ephod, had on the shoulders two precious stones with the names of the tribes of Israel engraven on them. So when the priest went in, he was bearing the tribe's sins on his shoulders. He had the responsibility of leading the tribes on his shoulders. Then there's the breastplate, and it had the Urim and Thummim, which gave guidance. It also had 12 rows of stones representing each of the 12 tribes over his heart. Folks, the church ought to be over our heart.
Yes, sir.
We need to think of everybody in here as family. And we need to put them on our heart. We need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then in verses 22 through 31 of chapter 39, there were other priestly garments. So that kind of gets us to where we're going to study tonight. So in the rest of chapter 39, there's finishing the work. So verse 32 through 42, it says, "Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent, and all his furniture, his tashes, his boards, his bars, and his pillars, and his sockets. And the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering. The ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table, and the vessels thereof, and the showbread. The purest candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light. And the golden altar and anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door. The brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and his sockets, and the hanging for the court gate, his cords and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation. The cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work." Folks, when God is behind something, you'll find that you have all the resources you need. You'll find that you have all the guidance that you need. And because when we're serving God, time will go by fast. There, this thing is raised up in the wilderness on the first day of the new year, of the year, the second year they left. So it just took them a matter of months to make all this. You know, when we finish the work, we need to do it to God's specification. Twice in here we said that the children of Israel did it according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Has God asked us to do something? To build something with our lives? And he said, "I really want you to do this." And he's told us exactly what to do, and we know what to do it. And have we been faithful like the children of Israel to do it? The children of Israel, the same ones that were whining in the wilderness because they didn't have food. Whining in the wilderness because they didn't have water. Whining in the wilderness because there were enemies around. Whining in the wilderness because they just didn't get it. And Moses was up there too. You know, God will use anybody if we just turn our hearts to him. You know, they didn't falter at the size of the offering required to build the tabernacle and all the stuff. In fact, last week we knew that they gave more than enough and they were actually asked to stop. What a problem today, yeah, where people be asked to stop serving God because they're just doing too much. Or stop giving to God because they're giving too much. Be a good problem to have. But folks, when God's in it and your heart's ready and serving God, you'll do things beyond what you ever thought you could ever do. But in this case, they quickly finished the work. God can help us finish magnificent tasks if we just let him. They built the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. When they started rebuilding the temple, things went quickly by. Is there unfinished work in your life? You know, we sing the song, God's still working on me. That's true. But He's told us things to do, and have we finished it? Two thoughts here. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God's called us to do something and we haven't finished it, it's not God's fault, it's ours. It's an issue of faith, or it's an issue of sin, or is it just an issue of pride? And so when God's told us to do something, we ought to do it. And we do it to His specification, and we keep on doing it until it's finished. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. And here's an interesting thing. Moses didn't have a blueprint of this thing. He just had the dimensions. And these skilled people were given wisdom by God to do exactly what God wanted them to do. Now, how many of you seen... Well, I'll give you an example. When we were in Korea, there was a highway that went from Osan, where our airbase was, up to Seoul. Mm-hmm. Magnificent highway. And as soon, and going up there, there was detours and all this time and massive traffic jams, and people would sell things on the side of the road because no one was moving. Mm-hmm. And they finally got this thing open. And for 2 weeks, traffic was wonderful. And then they closed it all down. And the reason they closed it all down is somebody forgot to put expansion joints in the concrete. And then for the next 6 months, they're out there sawing across this. Folks, when this is a project and all these pieces are being built by a whole bunch of different people, and they all fit together like a glove. See, when we're all listening to what God tells us to do, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to do our piece. And when we do our piece and someone else does their piece and we put it all together, it's going to fit like a glove. When they put all these pieces, this tons and tons of gold and precious metal and goat hair and tents and canvas and curtains and all this stuff, it works exactly as God planned it, without a blueprint, because God gave it to him up here. God gave it to him down here. Folks, we got God's blueprint. Are you following it? In order to do it, we need to follow God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Have you ever bought something like one of these things that you have to, what pieces of furniture you have to assemble, and you open it up and you find that you're missing a piece? And you can't complete the job because you're missing a piece. There was nothing missing here. You know why? Because people were being guided by God. And when you're being guided by God, there's nothing ever missing. There's no missing pieces when it's all assembled together. So we see that they finished the work. In chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, we see raising of the tabernacle commanded. Now they're going to put it all together. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with a veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things which that are supposed to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hangings at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shall hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver in his foot and sanctify it. You know, there's a lot of construction projects, mostly 1604, but there's a lot of stuff laying around not being used. And they say you have a completion date or a start date, and it doesn't get started on time, it doesn't get finished on time. But here God says, we're going to start it on the first day of the next year. And we're going to be a new start. We just entered a new year. God's given us all the pieces necessary to be successful. Have we assembled them together the way God wants us to then? Or are we not following the instructions like I do when I build things? And then wind up with extra parts.
Amen, brother.
So the issue is we see the timing here. On the first day of the year. And I'm sure it's right after they got all the stuff there. Said, let's build it. You know, there's a lot of churches that have a lot of stuff laying around and not being used. There's a lot of church members that have a lot of gifts and talents just laying around and not using them. And if that's the case, then ministry doesn't get done. See, God's called us for a purpose. He's made it with a purpose. He's given us specifications in order to build. And He wants us to follow the building. Now, here's an interesting thing. What was the first thing placed? The Ark of the Testimony. And then the veil. And then all the other things about the holy, the most holy place. And then the holy place. And then the tent of the congregation. God works from the inside out.
Yeah, there it is.
See, if our heart's right, it can control our thoughts. If our thoughts are right, it'll control our actions. And we'll do the right thing. See, Christ called out the Pharisees and called them whited sepulchres. You look good on the outside, but inside you're full of dead man's bones. Mm-hmm. But see, when they built this tabernacle, they built it from the inside out. And they built it from the things that God considered the most important. And then they went to the things that were least important. Is there something in your life right now that's really important to God that you haven't given up? That He needs to build? That He needs to set up? See, He's given a command to finish. When Christ died on the cross, He said, "It's finished." He's given us all that we need for life and godliness. He says that we could be thoroughly furnished. He's given us scripture that we'd be furnished, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. He's given us all the tools. Now have we raised the tabernacle? He's given us a command to raise the tabernacle. So we see the timing here. We see the process. It needs to be from the inside out. And there's a lot of symbolism here. So now, clothing the priest was commanded. In verses 12 through 15... it says, "And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle congregation and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint them and sanctify them, him that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as that thou anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood through their generations." The first step was, before they'd be used, they had to be cleansed. See, a lot of people today, that they go on and serve God their own way without being cleansed. Folks, you need to be saved. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, you're not the salt of the earth. You can't do what God tells you to do because you don't know God. You don't know His specifications. You don't know His timing. You're not being made by Him. Are you cleansed? Are you cleansed? If you're trying to serve God in a dirty life, it's not going to work. You know what? That's called being a hypocrite. And the world's full of them. And we don't need any hypocrisy in the church. So the priests were supposed to be cleansed first before they even put on the garment. And then they put on the garment, which means they were consecrated. And that means that they were set aside and then they could do the service. Don't get this order wrong. Don't get the timing wrong. Don't get the process wrong. We need to be inside out. We need to be cleansed before we can serve. We need to be consecrated before we can be set apart and used, be a vessel fit for honor. So, the priests were commanded to be clothed. Verses 16 through 33, the tabernacle was raised as was commanded. Thus did Moses. According to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. That's a pretty good example. And it happened. It came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets and set the boards thereof and put in the bars thereof and reared up its pillars and spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above upon it as the Lord commanded Moses, and took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staves in on the ark and put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and he brought the ark into the tabernacle, set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging of the door of the tabernacle. And he put the altar of burnt offerings by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, offered upon it the burnt offerings and the meat offering as the Lord commanded Moses. You hear a phrase? As the Lord commanded Moses, Moses did it. Yep. Folks, when God tells us to do something, we need to do it. Yeah. On His timing. On the first day of the second year, when God said it's time to do something, do it. Don't put it back. Don't postpone it. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation, the altar, and put water there to wash where all. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. When they went into the tent of the congregation, when they came near to the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. There it is again. See, when we follow what God commands us to do, others will do what God has commanded them to do. If Moses didn't follow this, then Aaron might have not. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses, what's this word? Finished the work. When God's asked us to do something, we finish it. We finish it. So God commanded it. God had the plan. God brought all the resources. God brought all the workers. God gave them the skill to do it. God had good project management. It all worked together. It all fit together. God told him how to assemble it. God told him who was going to be in it. And it worked. It worked. It worked. Obedience makes service possible. See, if they didn't set up the tabernacle the way God had it, if they didn't build it the way God wanted it built, if they didn't cleanse themselves the way God wanted them cleansed, then the service would be corrupted. See, God wants every part of our life. He wants to be Lord of all of us, not just part of us. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. And folks, if we obey with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it makes service possible. So in the last part of this chapter, we see the glory of God present. So when you do things God's way, working with God's people, working from the inside out, doing exactly what God commands, you'll see the presence of God. You'll see the glory of God. You'll do all those things. As soon as they got it all finished, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because a cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
Amen.
Folks, my prayer for this church is that the glory of the Lord will fill this place. But the glory of the Lord will not fill the place unless the glory of God fills each and every one of us. And we all do our part. And we all work together. And we do what God commands. Would you like to see God's glory? Would you like to see what God could do if we just followed His direction? 12 people turned the world upside down. There's a lot more than 12 here tonight. Just think of what we could do if we all surrendered to Him. So the glory of God became present. And then the glory didn't depart. And the glory of God started directing them in the way they should go on the next day. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. In verses 36 through 38, it says, when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. See, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We sing the song, where He leads me, I will follow. Is that truly our desire? Is that truly our desire? So now, I want to digress just a little bit, and we'll just look at the tabernacle and see a little bit of the symbolism in it. It's a great study. When Paul writes to the Hebrews, he writes in verse 5 of chapter 8, he says this, who serve unto the example in the shadow of heavenly things. Talking about the priesthood at that time. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern show to thee in the mount. See, God had a much bigger plan than just having a tabernacle in the wilderness. He had a much bigger plan than having the nation of Israel go into the promised land. See, His plan was the redemption of mankind. And He was showing them through the tabernacle the steps Even in building it, he was showing them a bigger plan. So to kind of put things into perspective, the outer court of the tabernacle was 150 feet long, half of a football field, and 75 feet wide. It was surrounded by a curtain that was 7.5 feet high. So no one could really, from the outside, could see in. Or on the inside, could see out. On the end of the tabernacle was the of the court was the tabernacle of the congregation. It was basically 45 feet long by 15 feet wide by 15 feet high. This first section was the holy place. Only one entrance into the court. Only one entrance into the holy place. Only one entrance into the Holy of Holies. So you had to get, you only go one way to get here. One way. And along the way, there's things you had to do. Now, in the holy place, on the south side, there was the golden candlestick. On the north side, there was a table of shortbread. And then right before the veil, there's the altar of incense. The veil was what was torn apart in the temple when Christ was crucified. And the priest went in there every day. In the Holy of Holies, you had the ark. Over the ark was the mercy seat. Inside the ark was the law, where God's judgment sits. God judges us all as sinners. But above judgment, there's mercy. And once a year, the high priest had to go in there and put the blood on the mercy seat. Every year, they had to go in there and do that. And that was just a promise of Christ. See, we would all be condemned under God's judgment if it wasn't for God's mercy that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Amen. Inside the Holy of Holies, it was all gold. Just a small inkling of what heaven would be like. Could you imagine if you were the high priest and you went in there and you saw all that gold? It just shined. That's what heaven was going to be like. Now, the Holy of Holies was 15 feet wide, 15 feet long, 15 feet high. God likes holy cubes. New Jerusalem in Revelation is 1,500 furlongs long, 1,500 furlongs wide, 1,500 furlongs high. This is a pattern. And in the middle of the Holy of Holies, there's the ark. And that's where God's presence is. In the middle of the New Jerusalem, there's God. And He's the light of it. In the middle of your life, God should be. Amen. God should be there. So, over the ark, if you go and you read this, there was multiple coverings. But covering the ark was ram's wool dyed red. A ram is a male sheep. Red is a color of blood. So every time they took this down and every time they set this, the color that covered all of this was the color of blood. Folks, Christ's blood makes us holy. Christ's blood allows us to serve. And Christ's mercy allows us to escape His judgment. This is another picture. There's a lot of neat things out on the internet about the tabernacle tent and inside of it. But I want to talk about entering in. The outer court, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to salvation. How many ways in? One. When you came by, the first thing you had to do when you were in here is you had to have a blood sacrifice. You can't even start to approach God without a blood sacrifice. You can't even start to serve God without having the covering of the blood sacrifice. It's at the door. Christ said, I'm the door of the sheep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. See, the Father is represented by the ark. And we're on the outside looking in. You can't see what's going on unless you go through the door. You couldn't proceed any further unless you had the sacrifice. And as a priest went in, then he went to the brazen laver where he washed himself. We can't serve God unless we're set apart. We can't serve God unless we're cleansed. We can't serve God unless we're sanctified. See, you can't go past the altar until you accept the sacrifice. You can't get closer to God unless you've been sanctified. And then the priest that would go in would come into the holy place where the truth exists. So the outer court is the way. The holy place is the truth. Inside the holy place, there were three things. There was a showbread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Christ said, I am that manna that came down from heaven. So the showbread represents the Word of God. The candlestick filled with the oil that only they could make, and it could not be replicated, it could not be used any which is a set apart Holy Spirit. And then there was the altar of incense right outside the veil, where a high priest, before he went into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence, had to offer incense. Incense in the Bible is a show of prayer, a show of praise. Go read Revelation. Remember Hebrews 8:5? This is a pattern. This is a pattern. So if you're stuck outside, there's no sacrifice. To come inside, you have to have a sacrifice. To come further inside, get closer to God, you've got to be sanctified. To get closer to God, you have to have the truth in your life. You have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Word of God and hide it in your heart that you won't sin against Him. You have to have praise and worship, and everything should be about serving Him. And then you can go into the Holy of Holies, in God's presence, where the mercy seat sits. And that is the life. See, if the high priest didn't do that once a year, the Israelites would have been cut off. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the pattern that Paul was writing about in Hebrews. And he's telling them, he says, for thousands of years, You had the answer. And you turned it into something else. You turned it into a bunch of ritual instead of a relationship with God. You stayed on the outside and did the rudimentary things instead of getting closer and closer to God. Folks, it should be the desire of every one of us in here to get as close to God as we possibly can. Have you accepted the blood sacrifice? Have you been sanctified? Have you gone and seen the Word of God and understand that it's the truth, the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth? Do you pray that you could communicate with God so He could tell you more truth and help you understand what you're reading? And then you can be in God's presence. Are you in God's presence tonight? Are there things? Where are you on the road to get to God? Everybody needs to be past the brazen altar. If not, I got great news for you. Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, the Son of God, lived a perfect life and was crucified on the cross in place of a murderer who represents all of us. Because the wages of sin is death. Our sins put Christ on the cross. And He willingly took the place because that was what His Father told Him to do. And He died to pay the penalty for sin and was buried and rose again the third day to show that He had power over sin and over death and has ascended to heaven. He's in the Holy of Holies. He is the life. And unless you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins and accept Him as your Savior, you don't have eternal life right now. You can have that tonight. Well, I've been coming to church for years. It doesn't matter. They were doing things by ritual for years. Folks, it's time to get honest with God. And then it's time to get honest about sanctification. It's time to get honest about having the true respect for the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and prayer and worship and praise so we can be in God's presence. And if we're in God's presence, we'll know it. If we're in God's presence, we'll see it. And we'll see Him move in our lives. And when we're in God's presence, He'll direct us to where He wants us to go. And He'll give us the right specification. And He'll tell us the timing. And we'll all be doing what God wants us to do. And then as a church, we'll be going where God wants us to go. Oh, there's so much symbolism here. We could spend years here. But see, God, all the time, everything in the Old Testament points forward to Christ. They were building this. And it was all the gifts that they got from the Egyptians that allowed them to have the resources to do that. It was all the gifts of skill that allowed them to build it. It was all about the gift of Moses that was given to them for leadership. It was all about the gifts of God's timing and His direction where He brought them into a place where they could go do this. They were set apart. Are you on the inside or are you on the outside? Only you can answer that. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. Help us, Lord, to deal. Help us, Lord, to listen to You dealing with us. Help us to surrender to You. Help us to be Your servants. Help us to be in Your presence. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.